Hey everyone, welcome to another Hyperspace Broadcast minisode, an episode where instead of discussing something that aired on Toonami, we discuss something Toonami adjacent. This week, a series of short anime films based on one-shots and miniseries written by Akira Toriyama. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And basically the idea with this, I announced that we were going to be watching Go Go Ackman last week to basically top off Toriyama month. And then we loaded up, we realized that Ackman is 15 minutes long. Like,
yeah, right.
Not enough to really, well, you know, to be fair, we might have been able to just cover that and have stuff to say about it, but we'll get to that. In any case, we decided that since we were familiar with several other works that adapted Toriyama's work, we could just watch those as well, because most of them are 20 minutes or shorter.
Yeah, it seems like there's a decent amount of short films produced based off of one-offs from
Or just things Toriyama that were manga. Like three chapters or whatever. Yeah, I believe
short little
Savings Soldier Cashman is three chapters. So we're just gonna go through in order of what we watched and talk about it like we usually do on a minisode. We'll start with Go Go Ackman, which was published between 1993 and 1994 in V Jump. There are 11 chapters, and the anime was made in 1994. So this is a story about a kid demon named Ackman who looks like Trunks without a nose, basically.
Like highlights in his hair a little bit. He's kind of got like a vampire look.
Yeah, and he is awoken from a 50-year nap and is told basically that he needs to get a job, that job collecting souls for the Lord of Hell. So he proceeds to go to Earth to do this with the help of a little flying red devil and basically fails at it until he is accosted by an angel who, in trying to kill Ackman, ends up just killing a bunch of random people on accident and Ackman's job for him.
Yeah, another like angel kid, and every time he tries to kill me, always pulls out some kind of conventional weaponry like a handgun or bazooka or grenades and just accidentally just murders civilians.
Yeah, right. And then Ackman collects their souls, getting him enough money to buy himself a car.
Yeah, laughing and, all the way.
Yeah, right. And you know, this culminates basically in the angel deciding to hire people in order to off Ackman first. A martial artist guy who demonstrates his strength before Ackman just shoots him with a gun. And then the angel discovers Ackman's weakness, which is porn. So he hires a stripper, and after several like kind of weirdly leering shots of her stripping, it's revealed that she's a trans woman, which is literally the joke.
Yeah,
so that's fucking great.
Way to, you know, it's like classic fucking 90s irreverent comedy taking a hard left turn into shittiness. It's
into just transphobia. It's
transgender surprise joke, ha 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 ha. Oh wow,
right. So basically, I mean, there's not much else to be said about Go Go Ackman. Frankly, I thought it was fine up until that point. That point buries it pretty hard for me.
Yeah, it sucks. I look back on things sometimes and I'm like, well, you know, like you can separate some problematic elements from it and be like, okay, I like this and I don't like this and this part's not okay. With this, like, I genuinely really enjoyed it until that moment. And then it's like, that joke is like the climax of the entire thing.
Yeah, that is the last joke of the thing. It's like that, and then credits. It's like, okay, wow.
It just sullies the whole fucking thing. It's like, okay, why do you gotta be fucking degrading to humans?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's just ridiculous. So that was disappointing.
Yeah, so from there we decided, wow, we better watch some other stuff. Because, fuck, that left a bad taste in my mouth.
Exactly.
And the next thing we moved on to was Pink, Water Bandit, Rain Bandit, a 1990 anime based on a series called Pink, which was published in Fresh Jump magazine in 1982.
Fresh Jump.
Yeah, Fresh. Also, yeah, I love, of course, that name. Fresh Jump is kind of interesting. Like, I don't know. I honestly wasn't aware there were all these different Jump magazines. I thought it was just Shonen Jump, which, you know, I guess shows Boy my Jump. Lack of understanding of this stuff. Anyway, this is essentially a story about, like, a girl named Pink, of course, who is living in this kind of, like, desert wasteland and steals water from a bunch of crocodile men who work for the Silver Corporation, led by, like, the CEO, which is just Mr. Silver.
Who looks like Blue Wario.
Yeah, kind of he does. Like, Blue Wario crocodile, sort of. And who is introduced, like, demanding that one of his henchmen push him down a water slide like a fucking child.
He's got this, like, really elaborate towering hideout, if you can call it a hideout, I guess. Towering headquarters, sure. In the middle of the desert that has, like, all this, like, it's just an awesome water park and all this crazy shit, just, like, showing off that he controls all the water.
Yeah, right. So, Pink, basically with the help of some of her friends, Black, a small fat dinosaur, White, a, like, drone robot kind of thing, and Red, which is just kind of a container. Like,
it's a robotic container that talks.
Yeah, it's like if R2-D2 was used for storing liquid, that's basically what Red is. He just beeps. And thankfully, the people who wrote in the subtitles translated the beeps for us, because that was totally necessary.
Yeah.
So, anyway, she infiltrates Silver's, like, hideout, fortress, whatever you want to call it, sees all this water, and then defeats his henchmen and finds out the secret truth of why the world doesn't have water anymore and why Silver has all the water, which is because Silver has captured the rain god Raijin and just kind of holds him in a room so he can collect all the water and it doesn't rain anywhere.
This was I would say a pretty charming adventure. I think the rest of these, besides Ackman, were all pretty charming. Just kind of, like, cutesy, and, like, you know, it's like Pink's just, like, a little kid who's, like, hardly really knows what she's doing, but just is good at just stealing water from these guys.
I actually have a slight problem with that, to be honest, because, like, the beginning of this short is Pink, like, putting on some goggles and riding a fucking, like, speeder bike to steal this shit and just ruthlessly shoot in one of these crocodile men.
That's true.
And then it's like, oh no, she's just a little kid. And, like, that's an okay, I don't know, like, that's fine, I guess, but I really preferred thinking of her as, like, some badass, like, teenager or older woman.
I would say it's pretty surprising to figure out, it's like, oh, this is a child. Like,
right.
There's also another character who just looks like teen Gohan, or, like, adult Gohan.
With Yu-Gi-Oh! Hair, kind of. Like, his hair is crazy, even by Toriyama standards.
And you know, he comes out and is a sheriff and ends up supporting her. But it's like, this one has lots of little Easter eggs in the background, and some kind of, actually, probably the most elaborate background work of any of these shorts that we watched.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Some really nice detail and, like, cool technical design. The kind of, like, Toriyama technical design, if you like that, this is a good sampling of it.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of little, like, references in the background for, like, the weirdly elaborate and lavish kind of headquarters. Has, like, a bunch of statues and stuff.
He has, like, weird, a, like, little statue of RLA on his desk, right?
Yeah, he's got a little paperweight. And then there's, like, a Gachan statue in the background, and you can see, like, this kind of cultural mishmash of, like, oh, there's tiki statues, and then there's, like, this thing's here and this thing's here. And it's kind of, like, kind of hints that, like, I don't know, maybe he's gathered a bunch of treasures from some post-apocalyptic era or something. I don't know,
but I mean he is a crocodile man also, so, like,
it's not taken too seriously.
Right. So Pink Water Bandit Rain Bandit was, for me, like, fine. It is a decent adventure. It's not particularly funny, I would say. But it's, like, okay action and whatnot. So, moving right along, we have Kenosuke-sama, which was released as a short in 1990 and it was a 1987 manga published in Weekly Shonen Jump, which was like a one-shot. So this story is about a kid ninja named Kenosuke. Wait, what am I talking about? He's a kid samurai.
He's a samurai.
It's fucking totally wrong.
Well, it's interesting, too. This one notably takes place in a world that is pretty much just like ancient, like, you know, not ancient Japan.
It's feudal
but, like,
Japan.
It's feudal Japan, except with TVs and cars.
Right.
And, like, you know, a normal preschool. And I just thought that was kind of funny. And it's like you get little shots of that around. Again, just kind of super charming. But yeah, it's about this kid, Kenosuke-sama, who goes to preschool and gets teased a bit and because he's terrible at singing. And then he gets asked out on a date, you know, by this other preschooler, and he just doesn't know what a date is.
Right.
And so, you know, so begins his learning experience as his buddy Shinobi Maru, who is a pig in a pig ninja outfit, tries to teach him what a date is and how those work. And, you know, comedy ensues.
One of the things that I find kind of interesting, I think this may have ended up being my favorite out of these. On further thought, just because, like, the whole joke of it basically is that it seems like Shinobi Maru doesn't really understand dating at all either. Like, he's explicitly shown at one point to be reading from some kind of gentleman's magazine to explain to Kenosuke what it is. Of course, Kenosuke is a child, so he just kind of takes all this at face value. And basically, Shinobi Maru's advice is, like, do everything that you would ever do on a date all in, like, one marathon.
Yeah.
And if you don't, the girl's going to be like, you're terrible, which the worst thing ever.
And so it's like, drive her out to the beach, then go to a cafe, then make sure to order iced coffee, then make sure to go buy her a handbag.
Instead of the barley tea that you want to drink, because iced coffee is fashionable.
Yeah, it's cooler for adults. And then, and I love it because, it, like, throughout this, in the beginning, he's just like, okay, here, I've got a car. Let me show you. And he rides out his little pedal car. And they're like, that doesn't even have another seat. You can't use that. And he's like, fine, I'll just drive my dad's car tomorrow.
Right.
And then we go through the whole date thing, to the entire thing. And it's like, the entire episode is a simulated date and, you know, learning experience for him. And then it's like, okay, I'm ready. And the beginning of the next day, it's just when you might have forgotten that it's like, oh, he was going to drive his dad's car, right?
Right.
He gets in his dad's car and just crashes immediately. And that's it. And the date's fucking
missed.
Yeah, and then
it's over. And
she calls
him
terrible.
Yeah, right.
She's just left waiting.
And I don't know, like, honestly, I like the punchline, I guess, of him crashing the car. Like, I like that reality ensues kind of shit.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. I think it's just like it's an effective, lighthearted comedic storytelling with this one.
And then also, like, one of the things about it that's kind of nice is I just appreciate, like, the preschooler's view of what dating is like.
Yeah.
Like, it does a decent job of pointing out that it is these characters' interpretation of what it is, and clearly they know nothing. And so they're just kind of trying to muddle through it. I don't know. There's something, it actually captures pretty well the, like, ignorance of youth, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's one part where he's just like, I have to buy everything. He's just like despairing over how he's going to run out of money.
Yeah, right. So,
it's like, oh, you kid.
The final short that we watched was Savings Warrior Cashman. And I am not entirely sure when the anime for this was released. In doing research, I couldn't really find reputable sources to indicate. It was either 1991, according to the French Wikipedia, which is unsourced, or it was in 1997 for the V-Jump Festa. Now, that was corroborated by several sources, but also V-Jump Festa, according to Wikipedia, didn't start until 1999. So, like, I don't know if that's some kind of mistake.
I'm
it doesn't
the fans
really
will
matter.
Forgive you.
Right, the fans of Savings Warrior Cashman.
The Cashman. You don't want to fuck with them. They get real pissed.
No, you don't want to piss off the cash man. Facts wrong. That's true. And it was published in V Jump between 1990 and 1991 with three chapters. Cashman is the story of an alien who has taken the place of a mild-mannered police officer named Chopet in order to basically make money so that he can buy gold, which his spaceship uses as fuel, in order to leave Earth, or, you know, whatever approximation of Earth exists in Toriyama world. Essentially, the plot is that a couple of aliens come and rob a bank of all of its gold.
Oh, yeah. And the aliens look like third string Frieza soldiers.
They
like,
look the, really fucking crazy.
The goons of Frieza goons. They all have like leopard spots and mohawks, but they have like big, like almost toad faces. So, yeah. And they're all bulky and have like arm cannons.
Right.
They're robbing a bank. So Cashman jumps in to save the day, but, you know, for a price, as he like shamelessly haggles with the bank staff to
in order to retrieve their gold. But what's weird about this is that he haggles and then just starts haggling against himself. Like at first he requests, you know, like $3 million. Then he's like, I'd do it for, you know, 1.5 million, and then he keeps going down, and then eventually the bank manager is just like, if you get back all the gold, you can have half of it, which presumably would be worth way more than his initial like pitch. But, you know, whatever. So he goes to save the day, but is of course interrupted by the interference of the very Bulma looking, I believe her name was Shamper.
Yep, Shampoor.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Who is sort of like has a crush on Cashman clearly, but treats Chopet like dirt in a sort of Lois Lane style. And, you know, essentially her interference causes Cashman to lose most of the gold instead of just kind of getting it back. And
her character was kind of annoying to me.
Well, yeah, no, of course. She's literally just there to be a problem and that's it.
Yeah. She was very very Marin to me. Or Marin.
I could see that.
Except less like, you know, boobs, but more like stupid and also conniving.
Yeah, right. Like her whole thing is that she just wants money basically from Chopet, which he gives her.
I feel like 50%.
It's a little weird.
50% of like all Toriyama female characters are like crazy, stupid, conniving, or like just boobs out all the time.
Yeah,
in a way that's kind of fucked up.
I don't think that I would necessarily disagree with that statement.
I think some of that's
particularly
improved a bit.
This era.
Yeah. In Dragon Ball Super, things start to look a little better, and some of the latter day Dragon Ball Z female characters are less obnoxious. Such as Android 18 and Videl,
cool.
But
no, that certainly in this early stage, that is a thing. And to be fair, it's not like Toriyama fucking wrote Marin. Like,
yeah, that's true.
But anyway, this is, I think, one of the kind of things that is funnier in concept to me than it was in practice. Like, I like the idea of a superhero who is only willing to work for cash and is very shameless about it. There's certainly something funny in that, but I feel like somehow this leaps over that and moves to jokes about how women are incompetent, basically.
Right.
And that sucks. And also, like, this, it's kind of weird watching this because, frankly, the plot of Jocko, the Galactic Patrolman, is kind of similar in that Jocko is looking for sky gold to power his own spaceship. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, right. It's very similar in that regard anyway. So, I don't know. To me, Jocko is just a better version of this, basically.
Yeah.
With Tights, who is competent and cool. But anyway, I was lukewarm on this one. I don't know. What did you think about this one, Peter?
I thought it was okay. You're definitely right where it's just better in concept than in execution, which is unfortunately like a lot of what happens with, I think, like some of the Akira Toriyama adaptations, like of comedic bits. I don't know, like Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super would have these conceptually really funny episodes that didn't quite come up to snuff on the execution.
Yeah, like, sure. Like the drive-in episode and the baseball episode of Super. Yeah, sorry.
The baseball episode of Super, I'd say, is still good, but it was like, when we saw the preview to that, we were like screaming because it was fucking hilarious. And then we watched it and we're like, this is pretty funny.
Yeah, but and like, I mean, the same with the drive-in episode, frankly. Like, yeah, it's not bad, it's just, yeah, it's funny. It's not as funny as it is in concept, though.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that wraps it up. What was your favorite? You're still saying Konosuke-sama is your favorite of the four we watched?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't have a strong preference just because all of these kind of felt average to me. I think that, you know, technically, from what I understand, Toriyama didn't have a lot of input on any of these. Whether he wanted it or not, I don't know. But it's hard to blame him necessarily for some of their failings, but they are also based off of work that he wrote. So, like, and I would imagine, based on how this kind of thing usually goes, they're just straight-up animated versions of the manga. Like, I doubt they changed much. So I felt quite lukewarm on all of them. I feel like he maybe has gotten a bit better in recent, like, these are all also fairly old is the thing.
Yeah, they're all early 90s.
Yeah, right. And, you know, sometimes even earlier than that. So I don't know what I'm even waffling around at this point. I just didn't particularly care for any of them. So yeah, I mean, I guess there's a reason that fucking Konosuke-sama is a one-shot and Dragon Ball is a series that is still fucking going, right? Like,
right. I had a bit of a warmer opinion on them, as I tend to, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess I'm a bit more forgiving, or I don't know, whatever. I'm also like a different human who has different opinions.
Yeah, right. And I don't need that. I'm not sure we need to quantify exactly or qualify rather people. Exactly why we might have different opinions.
Well, I think there's a theory floating out there that we're the same person.
Yeah, right. I know that there's a lot of fan theories revolving around this podcast.
Our voices are so similar.
Yes. Your voice always puts me to sleep with its total, like, dead atonal drone, for example.
Besides Akman, which came to be pretty shitty and disappointing.
Yeah.
I found all of them kind of just like, I found Pink and Konosuke-sama to be quite good. And, you know, and like both were lighthearted and fun and, you know, not laugh out loud hilarious, but like just like kind of a fun time. Their fun little venture, fun little look back at like the innocence and stupidity of youth with Konosuke-sama.
Mm-hmm.
Cashman was meh. It was okay. There was, it had some action in it that was okay, and I liked some of the concepts, like the gold-powered ships and stuff
right.
like that, but overall it's just like, yeah, okay, I get it. And yeah, so I think between Pink and Konosuke-sama, I think those are my favorites. The rest of them are just kind of toss.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Well, speaking of toss, we're about to get into some serious Dragon Ball Z action with the build-up to when Cell actually becomes perfect.
Yeah.
It's about eight episodes. And
when Cell gets out of that hole.
Yeah, and I think five of them are Vegeta just charging up. Like, it's a lot of classic Dragon Ball Z nonsense. So, looking forward to talking about that next week. But until then, I'm Michael Doak.
And I am Peter Eby. Until then.
Yeah, and this has been Hyperspace Broadcast. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.